Praise the Lord this morning. The sister testified. It just touched me because revelation, everything comes by revelation. I read, you know, articles and do research, like, and, you know, study, and I read things, and very learned men can write about this Bible and have no idea, no sense of who Jesus Christ is. They can write about him, but the reality is not there, and it comes by revelation. You can't learn. It has to be revealed because our eyes are closed, and the Holy Spirit needs to open our eyes. And I'm so thankful this morning he has opened our eyes. And I say, Lord, continue to show us your way. Praise God. This morning I have before me a scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Just one verse impressed upon my heart earlier this week. And it's just been with me for several days. And the Holy Spirit has been dealing with me. And the 58th verse, the last verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we find such an encouragement. One of my favorite verses. I say that about 30 or 40 verses are some of my favorite verses. But this one is so encouraging and an exhortation to us, especially in this day and age in which we live. And I want to deal with this verse in context of this chapter, and then I want to back away and look at it in a broader context as the Holy Spirit will lead. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise the Lord this morning. My beloved brethren, steadfast, unmovable. That's the theme of this message this morning. Be steadfast and unmovable. And let us look at it in the context of this church and this chapter. The church at Corinth was maybe 4 or 5 years old, as best as I can determine from the historians, when this letter was written. Paul's first missionary journey is when he first evangelized, and this Christian group, that became a church, they were there, and they have many problems in this church, and I just enumerated there was a partisanship. Factions behind the rival leaders. There was incest, prostitution, celibacy within marriage, Christians married to one another asking about divorce, Christians married to pagans asking about divorce, questions surrounding marriage and remarriage, lawsuits, idolatry, concerns about women praying and prophesying in immodest ways, chaos in worship, speaking in tongues, and competing voices. In addition, the bodily resurrection of the dead. Issues that came up. But recognize they were a young church. We've been around 100 years. We've had leaders and spiritual leaders before us who have given us solid biblical teaching, anointed by the Holy Spirit, and we've learned. We've been exposed to that. We've been taught in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit has worked, and these people didn't have anything. They didn't have those resources, and they were struggling. I'm not minimizing, but I'm telling you, so we understand the context. And here there were those that were saying there was no resurrection of the dead, and there are those that were saying, well, it's already passed. And it was a basic tenet of the faith. A basic tenet of the faith. Can you imagine? We can't imagine today because we're steeped in the knowledge of the Word of God. But, you know, this is a basic tenet. Resurrection of the dead. And they were saying it shook them to the very core. Could this be? Is it possible? Are we believing something that's not true? And Paul, in his letter, begins to defend the resurrection. He said, Jesus raised from the dead. He was seen by the apostles. He was seen by 500 people, most of which, he said, are still alive today and can vouch and can say they saw him. And he said, if there's no resurrection, then we died, and the preaching's in vain, your salvation's in vain, we're all lost. And those that died gone on before us, there's no hope. But he said, that's not the case, and he begins to defend it. And he defends it, and then he says to them, this last verse, this encouragement, this summary of this chapter, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. How do we look at this? It is an attack of the enemy. We are in spiritual warfare. Whether we realize it or not, I hope we realize it. I hope we understand what happens in our lives. It's all part of spiritual warfare. There's no let up. There's no repose here. We're in a battle. We have our own nature to deal with every day, our own humanity. The brother said, I've got a bad side. We all got a bad side. We all got a dark side. We all have that carnal nature that is within us, and we like to think we're just great people, but you know that humanity is there, and all those ugly things that we read in Galatians about the works of the flesh are all possible in our humanity. They're all there. We don't look at a person like a Hitler and say, oh, I'm not like him. Well, really? You could be. Because you got the same DNA he's got and the same evil carnal nature that he had. And we could all, if we let ourselves go, if we all follow the wants and desires of the flesh, we could all get to that point. But we're not looking at that this morning. We're saying, Lord, would you help us as we examine this? The enemy was trying to shake their faith. You know, when the Lord works, the enemy is right there also to work. The enemy wants to destroy. He wants to bring it down. He wants to water it down. He wants to destroy it. And this church was struggling. They were much blessed. The gifts were in operation. They were a blessed church, but they also had problems. Like all the churches today have problems. But here, the enemy was trying to weaken them and destroy them. And as I mentioned, Paul wrote in Ephesians, verses we're very familiar with. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And the encouragement is, having done all, to stand. Put on the armor. Get ready for the battle. Because we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And that is what's going on here. You know, if you look, if I could back away from this and look at this in a broader sense, the example I think of so often is, I don't know if you have cable, but there's National Geographic and I think Animal Planet, and they have stories about predators. And for some reason, it just fascinates me, and when I see it off from time to time. And I was following, they're talking about these pride of lions, and they had different names for them, and they would follow them through their travels and in the desert and whatever. And the one thing that we learn, if we look at that example from nature, is what does a predator do? These predators, what do? They stalk their prey, and they look for a candidate, a target, something that is either they're hurt or sick or slow. or they got caught unawares, or they look for someone that's weak or young. And they stalk them, and they're not trying to be melodramatic here, but they're very patient. They're very patient. They watch them very stealthily, follow them. And what do they try and do? Isolate them from the herd. Somehow get them alone. Just like the enemy of our soul. He's stalking you and stalking me. He's looking at how we behave and where we go and what we read and what we do. He's listening to our conversations. And he knows our weaknesses, the besetting sins the Bible talks about. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's gossip. He looks at those things. And he seems to expose us to things that inflame us, exploit us. To where he can draw us away from the family. Distractions. Attractions of life, busyness, involvement in today's world. We're so busy, so many things. God's not against that. That's not the issue, but those things can rob us of the time with the Lord. Those things can get us away from the fellowship. And we need one another. We're not islands. Well, Brother Ron, I'm strong. I can handle it on my own. I'm telling you, you can't. I mean that in the most sincere way. We need each other. We need the prayers of the saints. We need the body of Christ. We grow up into a spiritual habitation. The body edifies itself in love. How does it do that? It prays for one another. It encourages one another. It looks for one another. It looks out for your good and my good. Because we love each other, the love of God within us constrains us to be concerned not only about our relation, our blood relatives, but everybody in the body of Christ, even those we don't know. Somebody prayed for us one day. Somebody uttered a prayer that you and I are here today. And we do the same thing. We pray, Lord, for the future church. Who is that going to be? Who are you going to call? Somebody going to marry someone from the outside who doesn't know the Lord is going to bring them to church and the Lord is going to work. Somebody prayed for that situation. And here we are. Tries to isolate us. To stalk us. Oh Lord, Peter writes, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Your adversary, the devil. Who's our adversary? The devil. It's not flesh and blood, it's the devil. The enemy of our soul, the opposer of the brethren, the accuser of the brethren, the one who is out to destroy. But I'm glad that the Lord shed his blood for us and intercedes constantly with the Father for each and every one of us. And he has a shield about us. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you how much you care for us and love us. Thank you, Lord, how you protect us. Help us, Lord, to be careful. The word says in one of the epistles that you walk circumspectly, carefully, as wise and not foolish. Walk circumspectly. Don't put yourself in situations where you can be exposed. Stay close to the family of God. Enjoy the services. Come to the services. Enjoy the fellowship with your brothers and sisters, because we love each other. We help each other. We pray for each other. We're concerned, praise God. Well, it's not like saying, well, too bad that happened to them. Well, you know, it's a shame. Oh, no, it's deeper than that. It's, Lord, would you reach? Lord, would you bless? Lord, would you heal? Lord, would you deliver that brother or sister? Whatever they're going through, Lord, would you comfort them in their time of trial and trouble? And the Holy Spirit begins to move, praise God. And he tells us is what we need. We're going to be attacked. We're going to be hearing things that are false. The enemy is going to work and try to do the best he can to dissuade our faith. But he says, be ye steadfast, firmly persistent, fixed in the faith, steadfast. We're going to go through things that we can't explain, that we don't understand why we go through. We're going to experience things in our life that just tax us to the very, it tries our faith to the very last inch. And we're going to ask the Lord for answers. We're going to say, Lord, why? What's happening? And sometimes there will be no answer. Can you imagine Job praying, Lord, I've served you. I've done everything I can. I've been your faithful servant. He's thinking in his mind, and all this befall me. I lost my family. I lost my health. I lost my wealth. What did I do, Lord? And there was no answer. There was no answer. And all God could tell him at the end is, were you there when I created the heavens and earth? When I separated the light and the dark, and I separated the water and the land, and I created this and I created that. Were you there, Job? In other words, you got to trust me. And that verse in Romans, all things work for good to them who are called according to his purpose. Sometimes those verses are hard to grab a hold of and say, oh, Lord, yes, I know it's true, but Lord, I'm struggling with that. All things work for good. I don't see how this is good. And that's the time we walk by blind faith. And Paul's encouragement, steadfast. You know in what you have received. You know God's faithfulness. You know he's true. And whatever is happening, you can't understand right now. God's not explaining it. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. We say, Lord, help us. Hold my hand. Keep me strong. We're talking to a couple of folks yesterday and met with them, we're talking about, asked about our lives and knew of our history. And I said, my sister passed away. She was 26 years old, dying of breast cancer. And I was just 28 at the time, been diagnosed with a malignant tumor in my shoulder, a cartilage tumor. It was malignant. You all know the story. I don't mean to be repetitious. And I buried my sister on a Friday or Saturday, and I went into the hospital on a Tuesday to have my arm amputated. I had no answers. The church prayed in faith. Surely someone, I believe with all my heart, in this congregation at the time, our pastors prayed, Lord, please. But that wasn't God's will. But God never left me, nor my family. He held me by my hand and took me through. Hallelujah. He stood by my side. Oh, praise God. No, don't say, Brother Ron, you're strong. I'm not strong. Please, I'm telling, don't say that. Please don't say that. It's only the grace of God, the mercy of God, the power of God that helps us through the situations in our life. And you can recall the things in your life that God took you through. You know it wasn't you. You know it was the power from on high, praise God. The Lord who was faithful. The Lord who kept you. The Lord who kept you from falling. Because our humanity is our humanity. But oh God, thank you. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the Holy Spirit power, oh God. What would we do without Christ? I don't know what people in the world do. I don't understand what they do. I feel sorry for them. I say, oh Lord, where would I be? You only know. You only see with eyes of love, the song says. Oh, praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Be ye steadfast. Steadfast. Hold on to Christ. Well, Brother Ron, I don't understand what I'm going through, and I'm at the where. I don't have any more faith. Oh, yes, you do. The Lord's going to help you. The Lord's going to take you through. No matter how weak you think you are, when we call on Him, He will never let you go. Praise God, because He is faithful. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Paul wrote, or Joshua wrote, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done unto this day. He was talking when they went into the promised land and he was getting ready to be ushered out of this life. He said, be steadfast. Hold on. Don't succumb. Don't succumb to the Hivites and the Girgashites and the Hittites. And stay the course. Stay the course. Paul wrote to Galatians, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. They were trying to bring Judaism back into the gospel. It doesn't belong. No, stand fast in the liberty. Be steadfast. Oh, Lord, help us. Unmovable. I'm not giving up. I'm holding on to Jesus Christ. Praise God. I'm settled. That's it. I'm not looking here or there. Oh no, I know in whom I have believed. It's Jesus. Praise. He's the only answer. I've got no one else to turn to. It's Jesus. Unmovable. I'm not looking for another gospel. I'm not looking for another silver-tongued orator. I know in whom I have believed. Jesus, praise God. It's not the eloquence of the speaker, no, or the preacher. It's the word of God, praise God. Paul said, I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come to dazzle you with my brilliance. I came with a simple message, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's the answer, my brother and sister. No other name whereby we must be saved. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, sometimes we get into these situations and we become discouraged and we stop praying and we stop praising. And sometimes we may not come to church a few times. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't let up. It takes that power from the Holy Ghost to help us to get through that. It takes blind faith. It's a, Lord, I can't understand. I don't know what's going on. Why this befell me, why I have to go through this. I'm not going to question you, Lord. I've learned long enough now that you are in control. I know, Lord, how much you love me. I have seen your hand. I can't deny what you've done. And whatever it is, Lord, I'm sticking with you. I'm holding on to you. It's nothing's going to move me off of the gospel. Paul wrote in Romans, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. And he enumerates so many things. Why does God allow us to go through things like this? Why does God allow us to have these reverses and disappointments in our life? I don't know the answer to that. But I know there's something, there is a purpose. Ecclesiastes, the preacher writes, for everything under the sun, there's a purpose. God's doing something. And sometimes it's just for our growth, just for our maturity, just for us to draw closer to the Lord and to get really serious about our salvation. Not a superficial kind of salvation. No, no, something much deeper than that. To draw us closer, that we can be used mightily for the kingdom of God. Oh, praise the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Every prayer, every tear you shed, every heartfelt cry, the Lord hears it and he sees. He knows your anguish. He knows your brokenness. And praise God, it's not in vain. That son or daughter you're praying for, that husband or wife, it's not in vain. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Help us, Lord, to hold on. Praise God. Your labor, your toil, your struggle, it's not in vain. You know, before our late pastor, Brother Lewis, passed away, he was in the hospital, and it was in March of 98, and he called us brothers to come. He wanted to speak with us, and he read this scripture, "But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him." I kind of liken that to what Paul was saying in Corinthians, "Be steadfast." As if to say, brothers, my time is short, but you've received the anointing, the unction, the Holy Spirit. And that anointing will lead you and teach you. Abide in him. Abide in him. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Yes, even when it's hard. Even when it's discouraging. Even when you see people walking away. Even when you know they're rejecting, stay the course. Hold on. My encouragement to you and myself, brothers and sisters, let's hold on. God is doing something. He's working. And the encouragement to us, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Well, Brother Ron, this and that and the other, I know. Don't look at that. Look at Jesus. Praise God. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's all recorded in heaven. God sees it all. He knows your struggles. And he's there to help us. Oh, Lord, thank you for your encouragement this morning. Be with us. Continue to be with us. May his name be praised. Brother, sister, would you come forward? Do we have a song?